welcome back to the Reawakening Podcast. I'm glad that you're here. Welcome back to another episode. It is my heart to see our whole generation reawakened to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of Bible. I know that this is possible from you. Wherever you're at today, whatever closest you feel, maybe you feel like you're not hearing God very much, or maybe you feel cold and spiritually. Well, I want to encourage you that the path back is wonderful, and you can return to walking in closeness to Jesus, wherever your starting point is today. And sometimes that journey back includes repentance. Sometimes that journey back includes leaning back in again. Sometimes we just feel like we're just going through a nice Christian life, but have lost the spark. Well, hopefully today I'm going to challenge you in such a way that it's going to reignite some leaning back in when it comes to your pursuit of God. I want to talk once again about probably one of my favorite topics, because I think it is life-changingly crucial. Like for me, this is how I live. I am so hungry about this. I'm talking about spiritual discernment. And I'm specifically talking about like all the aspects that have to do with determining God's leading, God's direction, when God is saying, go this direction with your life, or go that direction with your life, or step out in this way. How do you make those determinations? And how do you discern like when God's speaking? And you know, for some people, they would say, well, the topic is hearing God's voice. Well, I am talking about hearing God's voice in a lot of it, but there's also other factors, like when other people are speaking to me and encouraging me, or when certain circumstances in my life are pointing into certain directions. How do I determine when other people are speaking into my life and it's saying, go this direction? How do I determine when God is speaking to me directly and it's this direction? How do I determine when my circumstances are pointing a certain direction, and whether this is God or not? Now, I know that these are very big thoughts, very, very big things, and we're not going to cover them all today, but for me, the discernment process comes down to, as I say over and over again, building a mosaic of revelation. And I am hungry for every little piece that might be painting a picture of God's direction for me, whether it comes from a conversation, whether it comes while I'm reading the Bible and something just leaps off the page at me, like the Holy Spirit screaming, this verse is what I want you to see, Brian. Or when it comes to prayer time, or seeing a picture, or somebody speaking and saying, you know, I feel like this is a word for you potentially. I want all the mosaic pieces coming together. And I want to be in an open posture when it comes to building the mosaic of revelation, even though I hear a lot of things and I think a lot of things that aren't true. Like I might be in a prayer time and feel like, oh, maybe this is a God thing, and it might not be. Or somebody is praying for me and they say, you know, I wonder if God's saying this, and it may not be true. But I'm hungry for all those pieces, and I want to record all those pieces. I don't want to reject any of those pieces first listen, because I want even weird pieces. I might just stick to the side for a moment, and this could be the beginning of a mosaic of revelation that I haven't yet perceived is on the horizon. So I will write them down and I'll put them away, and I might even like flag them as low probability revelations, but I never know. And sometimes years looking back, I can see that going on. Anyways, that's kind of all bonus stuff to what I want to talk about today. But I want to talk about this process of becoming someone who's discerning and growing in that. And you might think that this isn't you. You might think, okay, this is not my topic. I will endure some time here with Brian because, you know, I'm on the train, or I'm in the car, or I'm just, you know, like just filling time and I'm bored to death, so I'm going to listen to this podcast. But I do think that this is you. And I do think that there's good thoughts for you to ponder when it comes to growing in this area. I do want to challenge you if you've kind of stagnated in this area to give it another go, to lean in to the discernment process and to lean into this stuff. And maybe you've been burned and you have believed in past revelation. I've had this moments where I felt so burned by believing that God had been leading one way, and then it didn't come out. It didn't come true, at least in the timeline that I was really expecting God to be doing stuff in. The burned feeling can cause us to just park the priority of trying to discern, kind of give up on it a little bit in our heart, kind of put that bit to sleep. And if that's you, I am so sorry for the discouragement. The liar is at work, and the enemy is at work trying to get you to believe that either God lied to you, which is impossible. It's impossible for God to lie, but the enemy would want to say that to you, or get you to believe that this is just not for you, that you just can't do this. And again, that's a liar stuff. There's a lot of lies connected to this. But wherever our starting point is today, whether you're engaged in this a lot, there's words for you today, or whether you've been parking this for a while, or maybe you just don't even think this is a you thing, this discernment, hearing from God stuff, I want to say it is. It is for you. And listen, hear me out, and I challenge you to give it another go. There's three words that I want us to ponder today as we talk through building this mosaic or potentially leaning back in when it comes to discernment. I want to talk about the word humble, hungry, and smart. Humble, hungry, and smart. Now, these words don't originate from me, obviously. In fact, I'm cued into them from Patrick Lencioni's book, Ideal Team Player. Fantastic book for leadership. I mean, I love his work in general. But I'm using these same words, totally different application. I'm talking about humble, hungry, and smart when it comes to growing in and leaning back into discernment. My first word here, humble. And to me, this is really important. I have, and maybe you've had some good experiences and bad experiences when it comes to seeing people receive words with humility or deliver words with humility. I think when it comes to receiving revelation and receiving God's guidance, it's difficult. It's a humbling process. But also, like, there's some Bible truths out there that keep me humble even in my most confident moments. I mean, there's several stories in the Bible where people hear words from God and they are right. They are right, and yet that word doesn't come true. Now, that's weird, but the most popular one, the most famous one is Jonah, right? Where Jonah is told to proclaim, you know, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed or overturned, overthrown or whatever. And 40 days go by and God relented. He relented and he doesn't bring about the destruction that he promised. And Jonah is upset, and there's a lot about God just instructing Jonah, look, you're really upset about this, but like, I really care about these people. And so God's heart and his response to the people of Nineveh responding to his word, it seems to have shifted some things. And so Jonah is given a word from God. 40 more days, it's going to be overthrown or destroyed. And yet God shifts. He didn't lie, but there's a shifting there. Now, I think that's probably the best way to talk about this. When it comes to prayer and when it comes to discernment, there's a lot of words, there's a lot of phrases about prayer that start with the word if. If. There's so much contingency, and sometimes we're not even aware of contingencies connected to revelation. And we might receive a word from God or a revelation from God as a diehard promise because we've received it. But it may come with if-then statements or contingency statements, stated or unstated. Now, I am not into open theism. Like, open theism, I think, is what it's called, where God doesn't know, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. Like, I am not onto that board. I know a lot of charismatic people are in that zone. I do not believe that at all. I believe that God knows, and yet there are contingencies. God knows, for instance, when it comes to Nineveh, like, he has a heart for people, and he knows that the word that needs to be delivered is strong. 40 more days, and that's what it took for them to repent. They didn't need to hear the unless you repent, But that was there in the background, even though Jonah may not have known it. There are other examples, you know, Hezekiah, get your affairs in order, you're going to die. And yet he returns to the wall and he weeps. And Isaiah, the prophet, is sent back to say, okay, you've been given 15 more years. God didn't lie in that moment. He didn't say, unless you turn to the wall and cry. But there was a contingency there where a shifting took place. And so God gives a word, and it turns out, quote unquote, not to be true because there was contingencies there. Now, I hope that you're not misapplying these words. I find this wonderful because when there is contingencies, it's based on a God who really does love you and really does love people. He really cares about situations. He has a loving heart that responds to humbling, that responds to people who respond to him. It's a great thing about God that there is just such a soft heart. And so, but when it comes to hearing from God in prophetic words or feeling like God's been speaking to you, I think it's really important to keep that biblical perspective out there that God sometimes speaks and there are unspoken ifs. And a lot of times that has to do with obedience, continuing to walk in God's ways, not rebelling against him. But sometimes it also just has to do with other people's or your own proper response to being off track with God and humbling themselves. You might get a strong word about somebody else and the implications there, but it doesn't turn out to be. The word was right, but maybe their heart towards God softened. Now, I know that this is a theological and maybe weird for a lot of people. Sometimes we want a very clean situation. God knows, and so he speaks, and that's how it is. Yes, I would say God knows. He knows exactly what's going to happen, but he also knows exactly what to say, and he knows that if he says certain things, that he'll get you to respond in a better way than you would have otherwise. Oh, I'm afraid that came across confusing. But chew on this. But that mindset gives me humility. And it puts me in a humble posture when hearing from God and presenting words from God. I want to be bold when it comes to feeling like I hear words from God. I want to be bold in applying what I feel like God's saying. But there's also just an understanding that sometimes people's free will might impact a word from God. There's a spiritual war going on, which might impact things and might delay things or whatever. There's if words connected to revelation and things like that. So humility is really important to me. I get agitated when people present words as if there is no possible way that they could be wrong, and they don't present it humbly. Now, maybe they're right, and I'm wrong there. I don't really know. I wasn't raised with a charismatic background. I wasn't raised around this kind of stuff. But I've experienced wounds from that, and maybe you have too, where people have just been wrong, and they've been really bold about it, and it's made me really confused. As I've tried to incorporate their words, which seemed so confident. But discernment is a process, and it's a building of mosaic. You know, I've had people give me strong words which weren't for me; they were for them. And I sometimes they'd even push back and be like, "Are you sure this isn't for you?" And they were like, "No," and they were so offended, but it was so right, and they felt such strong. They were hearing from God, but they were just applying it to the wrong person. I have a really hard time hearing accurately from God on things that I really, really want. And I've got some great experiences, painful experiences when it comes to trying to pray and listen about things that I really want. I still believe it's worth the effort and I'm going for it. I'm not holding back. But you know, like my journey when it comes to leading a church has included a lot of church building pursuits and hoping that God was leading in certain directions and them not turning out to be the case. And you know, here we are years later, and I love where we're at, and that's all good. But, you know, feeling like, oh man, I felt like I was hearing accurately from God, but it just didn't come to be. It's hard to hear God on things that we really want. These kind of things aren't to discourage. They're to make sure that we stay in a humble mindset. I want to be humble, but I also want to make sure that I'm open, that I'm open to hearing, that I'm not shutting things down. And so whether that's receiving words, you know, I want to be humble in receiving words, but I also want to be humble in giving words, encouraging people to discern for themselves. And, you know, I get it wrong and people get it wrong. I think everybody gets it wrong. And I want them to know that not to just anchor onto my words, which I feel like might be really right in that moment or whatever, but they have to apply this discernment process. Humility in the delivery and the thing, very, very important to me. That's the first word, humility. The second word is hungry. And here's where I ask myself, Brian, how did you first get hungry to hear from God? Like what was the moment in your past where you just felt like you were hungry? And my journey was one of pain. Pain birthed my prayer journey. Disappointment, frustration, feeling stuck. It birthed my prayer journey. And actually, sadly, those moments of pain and frustration and stuckedness are how I've always taken leaps forward, where I've just been so desperate, whether I started fasting because of those kind of moments or were in desperation. But like for me, pain is how I first started to gain this hunger. But like, how do you gain hunger for hearing from God when you're not feeling pain, when you're not feeling desperate? I think that's a good thing. I have this mentoring class on Tuesday nights, and I was kind of listening to their stories and their situations, asking this question, how did you start feeling hungry? And I just thought everybody would say pain. You know, to me, it makes sense. Pain and desperation. But other things came to mind, and I'm like, oh yeah, I've experienced that too, such as having friends who are growing in this and who are leaning into this. There's nothing like growing in prayer with a friend who you're just running with, where they're learning to listen and you're learning to listen, or they're mature in it and you're learning from that. One of my mottos when it comes to growing in Jesus and really growing and hearing from God is solo is so slow. Solo, like one word, by yourself. Solo is so slow. And I remembered the big leaps eras of my life in prayer and in discernment have come with having a buddy, having treasured friends who I could run with. You know, other people said challenging situations, maybe not painful situations, but just difficult, challenging moments. Other people said that they got fired up and hungry about hearing from God when they received right prophecy. And it just reminded them that, wow, God spoke to me through that person, and it was right. God still speaks. He still speaks through people, and what a blessing that was for me. How much more can that be a blessing for somebody else? Another talked about urgent need, and yeah, I feel that so much, urgent need. I hope that none of you are in such desperate situations right now in your life where that will naturally propel you towards running after discernment and hearing from God. I would rather if you were just in a very peaceful, joyful moment of life. There are ways to be hungry and to grow in your hunger without needing to be in pain or desperation. And again, it's being in those environments, having a buddy to run after and to be like, hey, let's grow in this. Let's grow in this in the good days so that when the difficult days come, we are sharpened. Our skills are sharpened in this moment. Anyways, I think a good question is wherever you're at right now, how can you start to grow hungry? How can you grow in your hunger from where you are and so that you go to the next level? And then for those of you who have experienced that, the next question is, how do you sustain hunger when your season of pain is over? Or how do you sustain hunger when your friend moves on? How do you sustain hunger when your challenging situation, when you come through it in triumph and victory? How do you sustain it? And again, there are ways to sustain, like being in environments, going to churches where people are praying and seeking, running with people, friends, teams of people, groups of people, joining your prayer ministry team where you're forced to practice it. I get worried about sometimes people on our prayer ministry team when they just need to take a break. So many of them just don't get back to it. It's kind of like they lose the practice and then they start doubting their abilities. But man, those who are on our prayer team and just willing to listen to God for people or pray for people, they stay sharp and there's that accountability. Man, I'm there, I'm praying. So sustaining hunger outside of painful situations is just staying in those moments where you're going to practice it and be around it. Very, very important. Again, solo, so slow. Use your gifts in your church situations. My dream scenario for you is that you would be someone who sits down before you go to church and you pray. And you're like, God, do you have a word or of an encouragement or something that I can give to people at church today? My ears are open. My mind is open. And I'm going to be bold today and set out to try and encourage people as you lay them on my heart. And then go to church, and maybe God will give you a person in that moment, or in a verse, or a word, or a picture, or something like that, and you go and you can give it to them at church that day. Or maybe you'll see them at church, and just being alert and bold. When I was on sabbatical, I went to different churches, and every time I went to church, I was just hoping that God would have a word for me. And several times, people would come up to me, and they say, you know, I feel like God's saying this. And I feel like that was the best. That's what I want for everybody when they go to church, to go to places where there's people there here trying to listen for what God might want to say to encourage the people around them and to speak. And so may you be that in whatever church you're at. And you're like, oh man, that would make me the weird person. Praise God. If being somebody who's listening to God and encouraging people, it makes you weird, then that's what you want to be. 100%. 100%. Humble, hungry, and then smart. Smart. Now, I read a lot of James Cole, a lot of his books. And I've said it before, my favorite book of him is The Discerner, but I've read so many books that influenced by him. And one of the things that he is so good at driving home is journaling. And to me, I've modified that concept a little bit. But if I don't record all the pieces of a potential mosaic, whether I believe they might be from God or not, then I'm gonna be not growing as fast in my learning of how to determine when God's speaking or not. So I used to just want to write things into my journal if I felt pretty confident that it was a Jesus thing, or somebody said that they were hearing a word from me, and I'll write that down just in case. But now I've started to think of my journal as a maybe journal. For instance, I woke up this morning with a dream, and kind of end times dream or whatever, doesn't matter what the dream was, but a dream, and I'm like, I don't really think that this is particularly a God dream, but it gets written down in my journal. Actually, I had two dreams this morning. Both of them, I'm just like, they just seem more like just dreams, but I'm going to write them down in my maybe journal. And then I kind of prayed them through and took a few notes about them. But I have, they would be on the newer revelation side. They might be beginnings of a mosaic that I'm not aware of yet. I don't hold a lot of weight, but they're in my maybe journal. And I'm not putting any pressure that needs to be a word from God. I've recorded it, and now I'm setting it aside. I prayed through it, and I've set it aside. Now, that's how we grow, because it's usually on the areas that we're not really confident in, or maybe we have very low expectations, where we start to learn, like, oh, God is speaking in this. But journaling, there's no way you're going to remember all the pieces in the mosaic that God's giving you about potential revelation and guidance unless you're recording every single piece of it. If I don't write it all down, I'm not going to remember. I might remember something here or there, or maybe by the grace of God, he'll bring something to mind. But man, if I want to really grow in becoming mature in discernment, I got to be smart about that. And that means building my maybe journal so I can record and track things together as potential mosaics of revelation come together. So I've got my maybe journal. Also, like for me, I've got to stay reading about the topic, or listening to podcasts about the topic, or being around people about this topic. And for me, it's learning. Now, because I'm not coming from a charismatic background. I've never been a part of a charismatically cultured church. So much of it, I'm going to say, is new to me over the last decades. But like, I feel like I don't have a lot of other people that have been examples to me in my formative years. And so I feel a little bit like I'm working on this my own. And so I'm trying to fast track on these years, trying to catch up. But I also find just inspired as I just keep reading books or listening to journals about other people's stories and situations. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is good. This is real. And the enemy would obviously want to say, oh, Brian, that's them. That will never be you. And that's what the enemy feeds you all the time. Oh, that's them, but you, not you. Again, that's completely enemy stuff to try and get you to separate yourself from what Jesus is doing today. And I believe as you lean in and you grow, that you can be as accurate. Maybe it won't be exactly like their situation. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll be better. Maybe it'll be different. But it's still going to be good, and want to still go for it. But so for me, being smart when it comes to growing in this area is I'm going to track things well, and I'm going to care about truth. I had a friend the other day who had a word that for me that wasn't what I wanted to hear. It wasn't my, and I felt a little stung by it. And, you know, they gave it, and then they came back to me later and they're like, you know, Brian, you know, I'm sorry about that. You know, I should have been more sensitive about that. Or maybe you want me to wait to give you words until I pray them through or more. And I was just like, no. I don't care about stings. I want truth. And I don't care if it's what I want to hear or not what I want to hear. I want to build mosaics, and I want to get a sense of what's really, really, really going on. Not what I want to go on, although I prefer if everything in my life goes how I prefer it to be. But ultimately, it's like, I want truth. I'm hungry for truth. And I'm humbled by my missteps over my life. I'm humbled by the times that I've got it wrong or it hasn't turned out as I'd hoped. I'm humbled that I look forward and I am dependent on God and His leadership for the future that I want. What kind of person do you want to be? I want to be someone who follows Jesus. Now, not just in the sense of like, I am living a godly life in Christ Jesus, which I definitely want to be doing. Not just I want to be, obedient to the morality and that Jesus calls us to be. I want to be someone who's walking in step with the Spirit, Galatians. Walking in step with the Spirit. And, you know, I have been humbled in life where I had strategies when it came to what I'm doing with this church. You want to hear what I wanted? I wanted one larger church, but I mean, right now, in the decade ago, God gave us a church building. Well, I guess 12 years ago or something like that, 13 years ago, He gave us a church building in the West End of Glasgow. It is a wonderful church building. It has been such a joy all these years, but it's also gotten really full. It's a smaller building. It's not very large. It's a smaller building. And so for years, it's like looking for a bigger space and we looked at warehouses, 25,000 square feet, 35,000 square foot warehouses, you know, big warehouses. We looked at large church buildings in our area. And like I praying and strategizing for years and all that kind of stuff. Well, ultimately, there was a shift. And this was an important moment in my life where I was bringing my request before God and feeling like, you know, just battling for more space. But ultimately, God had a little bit of a different vision than my vision, a different strategy than my strategy. And the year that I finally grabbed a hold of God's strategy for the church, which would be multi-locations, like instead of one big church, in bigger church in the area, like, well, now we have one in Southside, and we have one in Royston, and we have one still in the West End, and we have one over in Paisley. Multiple locations. And, you know, to be honest, this is not what I set out to do. And this is not my favorite strategy, other than it's God's strategy. For if I had my way, I would prefer to have one large gathering. Why? Because people. I love people. And I really love getting to know people. And it's really hard to not be with everybody every Sunday. It really pulls on my heart. And also, you know, an honest pulling back the curtain here, you know, like I just imagine people judging me out there. And not that that's a big deal, but I don't know. I do care. I have a heart, you know. And I imagine people judging me, oh, multi-site. He just cares about being all big and awesome and blah, 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 blah. Whatever, however people, and I just try to imagine myself how in my immaturity I might have judged other people. And so, you know, it kind of weighs on me, is like, this isn't the path that I dreamed, and yet it's God's path. And so coming back to discernment and being humble, hungry, and smart, part of the humbleness is like in the discernment process, not my path, Jesus, your path. I used to think of myself as a strategic person and as one of my strengths. Now my strategy is discernment, and just trying to follow Jesus. Because the path that Jesus has led me on has not been the path of human strategy or even human preference on my end. It's been the path of, Brian, can you hear me? Will you hear me? And will you follow me? And will you follow the leadings of the Spirit? Will you follow the revelations that I'm giving? Will you follow the dreams, the words, the opportunities that I'm giving you? And will you set down your strategies and your thoughts and just trust me and follow me? It's been a hard path. It's been a humbling path. It's been a joyful path. I love it. I love it. I love it that I'm so out of my strategies, and never has this been able to be pointed to and say, oh, this is, Brian did this. Like, even our first church building was a miracle. I could never have done it. Just Jesus showed up. But that's the life that I've come to cherish. A life that is learns to listen and discern and pick up the leadings of God. Whether I feel like I need a lead. I did not feel like I needed a leading when it comes to our Paisley location. In fact, I was telling the church leadership maybe a week or two before that became an issue, became a topic or a possibility, like, let's not do anything new. That was Brian Ingraham and his preference coming out of COVID. Let's not stretch things. Let's not push things. But then within a couple weeks, this new mosaic piece dropped on, like several pieces at once, and it became an avalanche forward, not my plans. And yet Jesus's plans are best. They might feel stressful, but it's for those kind of reasons. Like, for me, following Jesus is, yes, living a godly life in Christ Jesus, but it's also learning to listen so that every step is following courageously the path that he has for me, which is different than the path that I imagine sometimes him having for me. And so that's where the humility and the discernment comes in, why I'm not going to reject pieces. Like, I wanted to reject Paisley. I wanted to reject multi-site. It wasn't the path I wanted to walk at the beginning, and yet, I've sharpened my discernments over the years, and I was like, okay, well, this is what Jesus is telling us to do. It's not what I want to do, but we're going for it, and we're all in. And that's how we've been running with this. It's a journey, growing in humility and hunger and being smart when it comes to growing in our discernment skills. But this is a treasure, and as you keep going in this, the paths that Jesus can lead you on are, I want to say, more complicated, more complex, but also more wonderful. If you can catch, hey, Brian, turn here. And I was like, well, I wasn't expecting to turn here. You can pick up the treasures that you would have walked right past had your ear not been attuned. So, man, I'm a big fan of this. And, you know, if you feel like you've been burned in the past and you tried this and it didn't work, or you've tried to step out in these areas, I encourage you, pick up the Discerner, James Gall. I encourage you to get around people who are going for this. You know, if you've got prayer ministry team in your church, you might feel zero confidence in this, but just ask if you can join a buddy and just kind of tag team, in the sense of like, okay, they're going to be the lead and you're going to listen and maybe contribute if something hits you, but you're going to let someone kind of disciple you in that area. Lean in. The only way to grow is humbly being hungry and smart and leaning in. So anyways, that's my thought for today. The challenge is give it a go, give it another go, ramp it up a little bit. I just can't encourage you more in this. If you found this podcast helpful or encouraging, maybe somebody else will too. Who knows? But why don't you go ahead and rate and review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and let some people know. If you could share it, that would be great. I want people to be encouraged. I want people to go to new places in their freshness, in their close relationship with Jesus. I want people to be able to follow the Holy Spirit in all the subtleties and wonderful quick changes that He might lead towards treasures that we don't currently see or we wouldn't even be walking towards, but God has for us. I want that for everybody. As I always say, it's my heart to see our whole generation reawakened to walk in fresh, close, long-lasting, life-giving connection to the God of the Bible. Some people can fumble through this path alone, but everyone does better with help.